Yeah. Oh no, was my mic on? Shoot. My mic actually works this week. So I'm excited about that. See if this music stand works now. It is, yeah. So I want to thank Tom Mackmore. We got a new mic this week, so hopefully that will be fixed. And I'm also working on getting some new glasses or contacts, so maybe that will also help out so I don't have to, like, keep messing with my glasses every morning and be a distraction. I went this week, and I didn't have contact insurance, and so I was like, I'm not paying you that much. I remembered why I was going to be an optometrist and not a pastor this week when I went to the eye doctor. But anyway, we'll get that worked out soon this week. So let us continue. Let us break now for a moment of silent prayer, if you'll pray to God and pray for me as I bring your word this morning. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This week we're going to continue in a series called Broken, Good News for Tough Times. A series in which we're going to be looking at the book of Romans. We're looking at chapters 8 through 11, and we're going to be looking at the way that Paul was trying to encourage the people of faith. People of faith that he had never met, but he knew that the Christian walk was a difficult one, and that he knew that he needed to encourage them as people of faith to continue fighting the good fight, even when they experience pain and hardship. Paul's trying to encourage them. You know, like I said last week, as we watch the news and as we scroll through social media, how many of y'all have social media? Right. So I was watching a video and one of my friends was sharing that. How many of y'all have 5 friends on social media? All right, we're doing well. How many have 5 friends that aren't here at church on social media? How many of y'all think that those friends go through brokenness in their life and hardships in their life? Anyone? And so not everyone is going to a church right now, believe it or not. And so as a witness, we can check into to church every Sunday morning. We can say, we're at First Methodist Church in Harlingen this Sunday morning, and it's a good day. And maybe that person is at home and their brokenness scrolling through Facebook. And they're like, wow, they're at church. I wonder what that's like. And then they may ask you, you were at church. What was that like? And it's an opportunity to share your faith with them without, like, we get all worried about, you know, fear and of rejection and things like that, but a subtle witness. And so I would invite y'all to check in every Sunday morning when y'all come to worship, and then you're influencing probably hundreds and thousands of people, your friends, who may be searching for a home. And so I invite you to do that. And so, anyway, back on topic here. People see, we witness, we experience how bad and how broken this world is. But as people of faith, as Christians, we trust in a God, and we trust that God is at work in this world to bring about the good news, to bring about goodness to this world. And so, last week we talked about internal brokenness, the brokenness of our spirits that influence our bodies and that causes hardship within us as our body and our spirit and our depression and all kinds of things like that, and how God uses all of those broken things to do something good. And so this week we're going to continue in Romans 8, and we're going to pick up at verse 12. Last week we read verses 1 through 11. We're going to pick up at verse 12, Romans 8, 12. The words are on the screen if you would like to follow along. It says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Yet, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from the sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including new bodies as he promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't have, we must wait patiently and confidently. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. The scripture continued on from last week's scripture. It was in the same paragraph almost, talking about the flesh and the spirit, talking about the ways in which as Christians we are called to live by the spirit and not by the flesh. We are called to live as people of God and not as people of the world. We are to follow the fruits of the spirit and not the ways of this world, that the fruits of the Spirit might flow out of us, that they might live in us, so that people in this world might know the difference that Christ makes in our life. You may remember the fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5. It says, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think there's even a song that goes along with that. If I was a children's minister, I could probably tell you that song, but I'm not a good singer for one thing, and so I'm not going to do that this morning. But there's a song about the fruits of the Spirit, being love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As we live in the ways of the Spirit, we live in ways that bring life to this world, that bring comfort to our souls, and help us to show courage and encourage others. When we're lived by the Spirit, we're able to put to death our sinful nature that tries to stop us from experiencing the joy that God has and desires for our life. The scripture says God calls us not to live as people of fear, but as people of courage. People who trust that we can do it, not because of who we are, not because I'm a pastor, or not because you may be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever profession that you have, not because of who you are in this world, but because of whose you are to Jesus as his adopted child. You know, people allow fear to hinder them. They allow fear to not allow them to live fully into who God has called them to be. They allow fear to not allow them to be the fully productive person, sharing their gifts with this world. Some of them share that fear with others. Some people never share that fear. They just hold on to their fear and don't do the things that they could do, that God's calling them to do. That may be fear of living into your full potential at work. That may be fear of trying out for a sports team because what if I get cut because I'm not good enough, or cheerleading. How many folks don't try out for cheerleading because they think that they're not pretty enough or popular enough? Or how much do we not give because we're afraid that we don't have enough? Or how many times do we fear loss of control or failure? Those types of fears hinder us from living into who God calls us to be. And the only way to defeat that fear is to overcome it by confronting it, by taking that step through it. There was a company, a yarn-producing company, up north, and they were producing yarn, and they were going through some tough times. They didn't know how to handle it, and so the first person to go was the head, the executive. They fired the executive because he wasn't doing his job correctly, and so they hired a new executive, and that executive got everyone together and was having a conversation, and he asked for some ideas of how they could overcome this problem that they were going through. This guy spoke up, and he shared his idea with the group, and they were like, that is an amazing idea. How long you been thinking of this idea? And he said, 32 years. For 32 years, he had that idea in his head that he hadn't shown or told to the company because he was afraid what others would think of his idea. How would they respond to his idea? So he held it. He never took that step. Fear paralyzes us as people of God. And so God gives us a spirit of courage, not of fear. And we have that courage. Why? Because we're children of God. We're children through our faith in Jesus Christ. We live by the Spirit as adopted children of God. Adoption is an act of grace. Adoption's an act of grace. There's nothing that we can do to earn it, but God freely gives it to us. Adoption, the fact that God has chosen us as broken people, as people who continually fall short, the fact that God has chosen us and incorporated us into a community of faith and shaped us into something beautiful and new, men, women, children, young, old, of every type of from race and class, that's grace poured upon us. We're part of a family that crosses all kinds of boundaries. We're part of a family of people that we've never met. Maybe we'll never meet them, but who are loved by the same Father that we are loved by, who are trying to share of the same gospel that we're trying to share. Abba, Father, the same Father. As adopted children of God, we inherit a new identity. We're no longer just people of this world. We're people of a greater world, a world that our eyes have not yet seen. My name's not just JJ. It's JJ, a son of God. You're also a child of God. It's not just Juan. It's Juan, a child of God, a son of God. Shannon, a daughter of God. You are, have a new identity in Jesus Christ. It brings life to us, but there's also suffering. There's also hard times that we go through as people of God. The world needs us to be his spirit, to be him present, the hands and the feet. You know, it's easier to focus on the disturbing events of this world than to focus on what the Spirit is doing within us. It's easy to be discouraged when we watch the news and scroll through social media. It's easy to say, why are we even trying? It feels like we're on a treadmill fast going nowhere, that the problems just continue, and that we're not making a difference. But we are making a difference. We're slowly making a difference, and we see glimpses of heaven on earth all the time. Here this morning, we see a glimpse of heaven and earth when we see old and young of every race and of every socioeconomic background joined together for worship. We see the heaven on earth when we have Vacation Bible School and we have hundreds of kids singing and learning about Jesus Christ's love for him. We see heaven on earth and glimpses of what heaven will be like when we see people fed, when we see the hurt comforted, when we see people find their place at a table. We see glimpses of heaven of earth, and that gives us hope of what it will be like. You know, people often have this whole idea that perception is reality. That what you see is what you get, right? You hear that all the time. What you see is what you get. But as a Christian in the faith of Jesus Christ, what you see is not what you get. We have a hope in a world that our eyes can only get glimpses of, that we're heirs to a future beyond our sight. So God calls us to keep plugging away, to keep putting one foot in front of the other, living faithfully in the ways of Jesus, living faithfully in the Spirit of Jesus, in ways of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God calls us to live in those ways, knowing that what we see is not what we get, but what we see hurts our heart and calls us to live as his disciples, to live as the people that God calls us to be. There's a world yearning for God to redeem it. The world is crying out to us. The world needs Jesus. It needs to know the love of Jesus. It needs to know the ways of Jesus. It's asking us to be his hands and its feet of Christ. You know, I never experienced the physical pain of childbirth. Can't say I did. But I did walk with my wife. I especially the Benjamin. I was at the doctor's appointments with her. I was with her and experienced the pain of carrying that baby day in, day out, of the pain of walking and the change in that, the pain of the change in sleeping, the pain of not having to switch to decaf coffee, right? I went through her through that whole process of childbirth. And she continued to grow, and she grew, and she grew, and we get more excited as that baby continues to grow, and we get the essentials, we set up the room. And then I was in the delivery room, lightheaded, right, upon the delivery of the kids. And I saw the pain of labor and the cries of my wife. And then we get to see the joy of new life, the joy that came after that pain and that discomfort. If you've seen or experienced childbirth, you've seen the pain and the joy wrapped up in the process of life. If you've adopted children, you've experienced the pain and the joy of welcoming a new child into your family. The children are gifts that come from God after a process of pain, of discomfort, of anticipation and expectation. The more we wait, the more our heart grows, and as we wait, we have hope for the new life, the new birth. Can only imagine what it's like for Christ. As his adopted children of God, how he each and every day grows in excitement as we look forward to the day in which we'll not only just see glimpses, but we'll see the whole picture. But we have hope. We trust the process, that we have to go through the process, that we can't just jump from here to here, but that God is with us from beginning to end. 19th century philosopher Karl Marx warns that religion with its fantasies drugs those who suffer and perpetuates their flight. That a lot of what Christianity puts forth are fantasies. I find myself doing that quite often in my visioning of what the church can be like for our world, and sharing those ideas with you about what all we can do with this amazing facility that we have and amazing community that we live in. What Mark said is only sort of correct, because one who hopes does not necessarily escape the suffering of the present time. It doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect, but in fact, in some instances, the one who hopes may be the only one with the courage to endure the suffering of the present. So the fantasy that drugs us is not just saying that it's going to be perfect, but what Christ gives us is a hope of the other side. So as we wait for our adoption as full children of God, we hope. We hope. And it's in that hope that we take steps to a better future and a better world. It's in that hope that fuels our imagination for the way things ought to be. It's in that hope that drives us and empowers us to live as people of courage. It's in that hope that we're able to confront the evils of this world. It's in that hope that inspires us for the present, in the present, for things to be better. It's in that hope that God calls us to be the church today. So we have a job to do. We have a faith to share. We have a love to share with this world. God's calling us to do this. He calls us to yearn for more, to cry out wherever love is absent, whenever life is shortened, whenever freedom is taken away. We are to cry out. We are to yearn for a world of wholeness and unity. So we may go through some labor pains. We may go through some growth pains, but it's in that pain that we are transformed, that we come out changed on the other side. It's crucial that we trust the process, that we remain committed to the promises of Jesus Christ, and that we live in anticipation of a new birth. Friends, we have an inheritance. We are heirs of the Abba Father, the great King, the Lord of Lords. We are his children. We give thanks for life. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word for us today. God, we thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. We thank you for calling us to be your children and adopting us as your children, that we continue to grow, that we continue to look forward to meeting you. God, we thank you for the glimpses that you share with us this day, for the hope that we can see and experience as your children, as we live in the world today, that even through our brokenness, that there's good news, and that you walk with us, that you hold us up, and that you pick us up as your children. Most importantly, you love us, and there's nothing we can do about it, but share that with others. Be with us as we leave this place, that we might do just that to a hurting and broken world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.